Today, it's called the scandal of the cross. The scandal of the cross. I'm going to give you some verses here. First, I'm going to start out in Luke chapter 20, verse 17. And he beheld them and said, remember, this is Jesus looking on them. Jesus is looking on them, looking at them, beholding them. And he said, what is this then that is written? What is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Verse 18, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, where we're going in these next few weeks. I'm going to give you the disclaimer up front. Could be offensive. Because, I mean, Jesus is talking to the church and saying, what is this? What is this that if you fall on this, it grinds you to powder? And if it falls on you, I mean, if you fall on it, it breaks you to pieces. If it falls on you, it grinds you to powder. What is this? The very stone that was rejected has become the head of the corner. Chief cornerstone, if you will. Now let me give you another verse. Romans 9. Romans 9, verses, start at verse 32. Listen to this. Now there was an argument going on here in Romans. He had laid some stuff out here. I mean, this kind of comes in. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and branches being broken off, and there's some argument going on. This argument had went all the way back to, should we sin more that grace may abound? You know, this thing had went all the way back. But he's concluding the argument right here with wherefore. That means why. He's saying, why? Here's why. So, I mean, do you understand? I mean, it's King James says wherefore, but it's like, why? Why? You really want to know why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Why? I mean, he says, why? You want to know what the problem is here? They sought it by the works of the law. They didn't seek it by faith. As it is written, so in other words, Paul is quoting the old prophets all the way back. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, start at verse 18. Now listen to these things. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now I'm giving you King James. I wish I had a new King James that breaks out a little more. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Did you just hear that? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Now I know everybody in religion is going, amen, brother, but you just wait. You just wait. I'm not going to tickle yours today. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. For it is written, this is God saying, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Jesus said, you kept these. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent. Revealed them unto men. I mean, he says, I will bring it to nothing. Y'all know what nothing is. Nothing's like what's in my billfold a whole lot of times. Nothing. Y'all get me? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? You remember a few weeks ago we talked about the scribe and who he was. Right? He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish of God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God stronger than men. We'll stop right there. But do you see what we've got here? We've got a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. The cornerstone that was rejected. I've got something that is causing men to stumble. And I want to tell you something, guys. Wherever Jesus is truly preached, men stumble. I mean, look at the scriptures. I mean, you would think that Jesus showing up, I mean, God in the flesh showing up, everybody would have welcomed him in the vision. I want to tell you what. One of the greatest apostles, Peter, tried to run Jesus out of his own boat. I mean, you're sitting there thinking, no. When he realized who Jesus was, it was an offense to Peter. And Peter said, depart from me. Did he not? I mean, I can show you in the Bible if you don't believe it. Peter, the apostle, said, depart from me. Why? Because a stumbling stone had came. This is not what I thought it was. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to turn everything that you've ever thought about what church is and what Sunday morning service is and all that on its head. I hope so anyway. I hope you'll allow the gospel to do that. All through the book of Acts, they would go and you would think that the gospel would be welcome. Today we put it on billboards. So-and-so preacher, they show up in the droves. Listen, when the real gospel is preached, it brings religion to a head and they show up with stones. I mean, look, we would say, Apostle Paul is preaching today, Sunday at 11. Well, when that happened in the book of Acts, they showed up and beat him to a pulp. Do you think it would be any different today? Do you think the world has gotten better? No, it would not. No, it would not. Today, we don't really want to talk about all of that. Because what are we doing today? What is the church doing today? And I know, right, everything I say is going to be offensive. I then gave you the disclaimer, nobody left. So I locked the doors, y'all got to stay. We try to have seeker-friendly, user-friendly churches. Right? I mean, those are the big ones. We don't want the gospel to be offensive. We want a little fuzzy Jesus. We want a little fuzzy lambs that everybody can get along. That it's not offensive, and I don't want to upset anybody. Listen, the priest, I quoted you scripture given by the Holy, recorded by the Holy Spirit here. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. I mean, Paul said it. Jesus said it's an offense. Makes people mad. I mean, we live in a world of what's the two words? Politically correct. But it's got to be politically correct. Now listen. It gets you from all angles. I mean, he said to the Jews, it was an offense to the Greeks, or to the Jews, a stumbling stone. To the Greeks, it was an offense. I mean, you know, whatever. But wherever you were, you were either a Jew or a Gentile, so it got them all. And it said it wasn't accepted among any of them, the preaching of the cross. I hear Jesus himself saying, I didn't come to bring peace in the world. I come to bring division. I come to divide the families. Son against father, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law. I mean, this is what Jesus said. I mean, listen, if we don't get a hold of this... What is the word that comes out of Jesus' mouth? You ever think about that? I mean, people will say the sword of the word. What does the sword do? A sword cuts and divides. That's its whole purpose. It didn't say a butter knife is coming out of its mouth. It didn't say lilies are coming out. Out of its mouth goes what? A sharp, two-edged sword. That sword is there to divide. Cut asunder. Listen to those words. Cut asunder. Do you know, I've cut up beef before. And we cut it asunder and we cut. And the knife goes into the meat and cut. And we move this part over here and this part over here. We get to scrap that this part here is no good. That's offensive. Preaching Jesus upsets people. But I'm going to do it anyway. Everywhere Jesus went, he caused conflict and confusion, didn't he? I mean, you can read it in there. You would think these towns would welcome him, the Messiah. I mean, you would think family people would welcome Jesus. I mean, there's a mom and a dad who had a son that did not even have any eyeballs. Jesus didn't just heal him. This guy didn't even have any eyeballs, and Jesus, because they couldn't recognize him. That's how I know he didn't have eyeballs. And they said, well, I think it's Johnny and Julie's son over there. We've known him, you know. And they said, well, you know, I don't know. If we really say that this guy over here healed him, we'll lose our spot in the synagogue. So we really don't want to get involved in the healing miracles. You would think a woman had been over for 18 years. They all knew her and standing up straight rejoiced. And you would think the town would receive him. But they said, get out. Why? Why is that? I mean, why is Jesus so offensive? Why is it today so offensive? I mean, we've been studying on Wednesday night about healings and all of them other things. And still, it comes up against you because I'm telling you what, even when you hear about a healing, you think they're lying. They made it up. They had that same problem all the way back here. They did. Because they thought, you can only, he's only casting out devils by the prince of the devils. I mean, that's the only way you can do that stuff. Because nobody has done these things before. It was offensive. Jesus comes into a town and turns the town upside down when his disciples later went into towns. What did they do? They turned the town upside down. You think they would come into the town, the whole town would come out, they would all get healings, and they'd all be rejoicing. No, generally the apostles, the disciples got sent out of Dodge or either killed. You think it would be welcomed, wouldn't you? I mean, you would think, listen, everybody, you would think them. Now listen, it's what's on TV today and it sounds so good. But listen, it's what I told you, we're in a seeker-friendly, politically correct. Why can't we all get to go along? Stop the bullying. Oh, we all got to love everybody. We all got to do this other stuff. And you know, here we go. And it's all Pop-Tarts and lollipops. And, you know, everybody's happy. You would think that message would do really good then, the preaching of Jesus. Boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. And you know, all of that preaching of Jesus, all that Jesus went and done, and all the apostles went and done was all according to the will of God. You know, I would have thought if Paul can go into a town and preach and people get saved, I would think Paul would be rewarded. I would think, man, give him a high seat, make him mayor of the town. I don't see it right to beat Paul to death and throw him into jail. That doesn't sound right. Paul is a carrier of the gospel. He's preaching Jesus, God, and you allowed him to be beat to a pulp. It doesn't sound right. And then Paul rejoicing? That really makes me mad. Until Jesus has deeply troubled you, I know a few of you in here that Jesus has deeply troubled. And see, I know, because I was out in front of you just a little bit. But I got deeply, deeply troubled. What in the world is going on here, God? You're messing up my whole world, my whole belief system. You just pulled a rug right out from under. And he does, don't you? And some of you, you know, you're looking at me like, what is he saying? What is he doing? I don't understand. And who does this? God does it. It's a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. Offense come in your life till you realize, I have no clue. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, until Jesus has become a stone of stumbling to you, a rock of offense, the gospel hasn't really touched you yet. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Yes. I'm telling you the truth. Yes, the gospel is good. I mean, when you first come in and it's good, Jesus loves you. Yeah, that's great. That's child stuff. I'm talking mature Christians. Until Jesus has truly troubled you and become an offense to you and a stumbling stone, you haven't let the gospel pierce your heart. Because he will turn your world upside down. Yeah. I'm telling you, he will. There'll be a mighty shaking. Go on. What happens when that? When he does that? When he does that? Now listen. Here's the other side of the coin. When he comes in and shakes them, because it's the preaching of the gospel, the power becomes the power of God unto salvation. You can't really experience the salvation God has for you until he's become a rock of offense. That sounds crazy, don't it? Churches today are doing their very best to take the offense out of the gospel. Now listen, I want to jump in here, and I hope the time that I have, I can qualify this, because I'm not talking about stepping on your toes and saying, oh, you guys didn't pray enough last week. You guys didn't reach it. But see, I heard that on the radio this morning. I heard them saying, y'all bunch of sinners and all you backsliders, and everybody didn't read the Bible enough, y'all are all going to go to hell. You think you're going? I ain't talking about that. What that is stupidity. What that is stupidity, because you don't know who God is. You haven't let the gospel penetrate the stony ground and the fallow ground be broken up. But we just want a gospel that comes across so blah and everybody's happy. I mean, what about a gospel that just knocks you to your knees and you're in awe? You see, this is the words that Clint had to me Thursday night. He come to me and he said, Brother Jim, I don't even have words to tell you. I said, Brother, I know. I said, that's when now you're starting to see what worship is all about. You had it on the sign out there, worship at 10 o'clock. But now, I run out of vocabulary. I said, now we're starting to see. Some got turned upside down. It didn't have nothing to do with it. I read my Bible and didn't read my Bible. I went to church. I didn't go to church. I helped somebody across the street. I carried their groceries. I mowed somebody's yard. God loves me. You know, I heard a guy say this morning, he wasn't here to please me, and he's here to please God. See, it's offensive when I tell you, you can't. You don't want to hear me tell you, you cannot please God. Except if you're saying, well, wait a minute, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, guess what? You can't even have faith. He's got to give it to you. That's offensive to me. I thought I could bring something to the table. My God, if I learned the right stuff, I could bring something in here to help me deserve the grace that I'm getting. That's why I got more grace. I'm better than you. The gospel's offensive. It's offensive. The word offense here, the word offend here is where it comes from. It's the word scandalon, scandalize. The preaching of the cross is scandalous. It's a scandal among men. Jesus, we could say it this way, Jesus is a scandalous stone. You guys heard about the Enron scandal and all these other scandals, and it says Jesus is a scandalous stone. The preaching of Jesus is scandalous. This word offense, this word scandalazo, whatever how you pronounce it in the Greek, it's a word that comes up out of the Old Testament. You'll love this. In the Old Testament, the prophets use this word to describe Jesus. Now, remember, as it is written. That means the prophets had already described Jesus as coming. I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. What? A stumbling stone. I mean, this. You're talking about rocking somebody's world. You think, I mean, this stone rocked John the Baptist's world. Are you? Should we look for another? This is John the Baptist. This is John the Baptist. This is John, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is that John. Are you the Messiah? Should we look for another? Go tell John, blessed is he that believes in me. Blessed is he that's not offended. Should not be offended. They used the word to describe Jesus, the Messiah. He would be a scandal. Listen, in the Old Testament, the word meant, you're going to love this, the word meant the bait in the trap. The bait, the cheese, the peanut butter that you put on the mouse trap. You know, you set your trap, you put your little peanut butter on there, and along comes little Mickey. Little Mickey thinks he's going to have him a little peanut butter sandwich, and he comes up on the trap, and as he goes to take the bait, wham! Little Mickey's deceased. Told you, kind of R-rated. That's great. It's a scandal. See when the little mouse comes in, the cheese or the peanut butter draws his attention. I mean, the mouse was just going about his business, wasn't it? He was just going down the road, and all of a sudden, I smell a little something. Let me just stop here. Let me look around. So, and then he gets another whiff of it, and he decides, man, something is making me change course here. Something is drawing me. All my attention now is being focused on the cheese. And I go to the cheese, and wham! It's an offense. I would have thought he would have had a buffet table set out. But it's a bait. You all got baited in. You think I'm crazy telling you what? By my loving kindness, have I baited you in? Have I drawn you? What do you think bait does? I go fishing, guys. I put that worm on the hook, and I'm trying to draw in a big largemouth. I'm baiting him in. By my loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you're drawn into the trap. I'll just quit right there and leave y'all hanging. That's what I ought to do. Because I got your attention right now. Patty's over here biting her finger. I've got your attention. I wanted to get your attention. As I look at this cheese, listen, as I look at this cheese, it starts to bring out in me all these emotions. It brings out thoughts I never dreamed of. And as I go for it, in the New Testament, the word, it means the same thing, but there's more added to it. You know, the Greeks would add more to it. It means something that can't be avoided. That means I'm going down the road, the stone is there, blocking the whole road. You with me? I mean, boom, you can't put this off. It's there. It's a great stone on your pathway. You're going down life's pathway and you come across this great stone. You can't avoid it. It's in your face. And everything this stone is contradicting everything you know, everything you've ever thought of. See, we come up on this stone, guys, and I know I've been there. We come up on this stone, and we think it's going to be a stone where we get there, and Jesus says, I hear this all, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast read the Bible more than anybody else. I'm so proud of you all again. You are so loving kindness, and you are the greatest lady I've ever seen, and I love you. We come up on this stone and it says guilty. What? It's offensive. Do you understand? We come up on this stone and it says you're hostile towards God. What? We come up on the stone and it says you are the enemy of Jesus. What? We come up on the stone and it says you crucified him. What? Not me. Not me. Maybe Job. Not me. Job. Maybe Job did it. Not me. You see what I mean? That's the Pharisee mindset. I thank God I ain't as other people. I ain't thank God I ain't like them. Right? You know, I might have been, you know, really, if I look at my life and I judge it out, I would have been the one who run out there and helped Jesus carry his cross, the cross y'all put on him. And God has taken me because I'm the only one to help Jesus bear his cross. It's offensive. I'm telling you. Offensive. That stone is telling me everything I know about life is wrong. Everything. That stone is telling me your entire belief system. Throw it out the window. What? Me and my whole family and generations of my family have believed this way. We've established churches this way. And you're telling me it's all wrong? He's not going through there. You know, it's not like a teacher. Y'all ever have a teacher go through and they mark a line out? You know, in other words, we'll keep everything, but we're going to mark this line out. Well, you come to this teacher and he grabs the whole book, your whole belief system, and nothing in it that you can keep. That's offensive, ain't it? And I know you're looking at me like, what? Yeah, it's offensive. It's a scam. All your wisdom, everything that you got from your parents, everything you got from your grandmas and grandpas, every professor you were ever under, every teacher you were ever under, all your wisdom. Foolish. Stupid. All my wisdom is stupid. I mean, come on. It's not nice to go around and tell people they're stupid. People get offended. Well, God is saying, y'all are stupid. You've believed and you've made up all this stuff. It's foolishness. I told you it's kind of offensive. Everything you thought life was about. You come across this stone and this stone says you are totally wrong. Totally. Of the whole book of Mormon. You're absolutely the opposite of what true wisdom is. You're the opposite of what truth is. I mean, when you've been told that your entire belief system is wrong, that stone's become an offense. I don't like it. It's revealed something to me that says, Jim, you are wrong. Of all things, don't tell me I'm wrong. Who likes to be told they're wrong? I mean, we might say on the outside, it's okay, I'm wrong, but inside, I don't like it. I don't care what it is. And I will argue some point. Like to be told that. I get very offended. In fact, I get angry. I get angry. I get disgusted by it. How can anybody in the right mind believe what this stone is saying? So I get so angry at it, what? I choose another path. I'm not going down that road anymore. I like what I believe. What I believe is I can do good and I can please God and make him happy and y'all are going to hell. I like that. I like that doctrine because that puts me up here and that puts you down there. I like it. I can please God. I never did backslide, or if I did, my goodness, I came back and I come to myself and I went home and God worshiped me and he welcomed me into the family. never, I mean, I don't want to hear that you couldn't do anything of yourself. You were so stupid and lost in your ways that except he come down there and had to pick you up and carry you back home. I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear that I was hostile towards God. Not me, no. But see, I come to this stone and I say, this stone won't stop me. So I try to go over the stone. And when I fall on the stone because I'm trying to go over it, I'm broke to pieces. You with me? I come to the stone and I'm saying, this stone won't stop me. I'm going to get over the stone. I'm going to go around the stone. I'm going to get by this stone and I'll fall on the stone and I'm broke to pieces. He puts me back together again. I believe there's a nursery rhyme about it, isn't it? Humpty Dumpty sat on the stone on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. But God in his great mercy put Humpty Dumpty back together again. See, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't do it. But you fall on this stone, you're broken to pieces, and God our Father will put you back together, put you back together right. That's what we call the fall. Jesus is the stone of stumbling. Jesus is the rock of offense. You come to Jesus, and if you understand what I'm saying, he becomes offensive to us. He strikes a chord in us. I'm just kind of laying some foundation work here, guys. He strikes a chord in us that brings out of us all sorts of anger. Brings out in us all sorts of bitterness, all sorts of envy, malice. We're disgusted with what he's saying. We become ashamed of what Jesus is saying. I mean, y'all ain't getting it. Y'all just read the little Bible stories and see the little stories. There's a woman caught in an act of adultery. Let me just tell you, she was a whore. Okay? That's offensive words, isn't it? Now, what did Jesus do? Oh, see, that's all great and good, and we hear it now, but do you understand? She's calling the very act. Is that the kind of person you want in your church? I mean, So you mean this girl that works over here at the strip club? And right while she's up doing her thing, religion goes in there and gets her and brings her down here while they're having a church service. You feeling what I'm telling you? They bring her down. She's probably still dressed like she just got up because they didn't have time to put, because we want this shock to be right there. We want the shock so she doesn't even have any clothes on. She's thrown out there. And Jesus, the law says, oh yeah, the law says, Moses says, we got to kill her because we can't let this wretched disease spread. All the little girls will think they can do that. What kind of society will we have? We've got to nip this in the bud. Jesus, you're the rabbi, you're the rabboni. What do you say? Now that we're all gathered around, the chief priests and the scribes, the Pharisees are all gathered around. All the men of wisdom are gathered around. A naked woman caught in the act, laying there to me. What do you say? Can't you hear the wisdom of this world gnashing their teeth, gnawing at God, thinking we got him now? He gave us this very law. God himself gave this law written by the finger of God up on that Mount Sinai. We got him now. These words. Jesus didn't say nothing about the law. He didn't say a word about the law. He just said, all right. Y'all want a stoner? Right there's some rocks. That's fine. Which one of y'all don't have any sin? Y'all go ahead. Right? That's offensive. That was so offensive to them. They all left. They all left. I'm telling you, we would think that Jesus would come in and say, well, yeah, you've got me now. That's what the law says. You're exactly right. Bring her up here. Let's stone her to death. Jesus comes in. He comes into my life. He's a troublemaker. Jesus is a meddler. I was fine until he came in. You know, Deuteronomy talks about the eagle stirs his nest. The eagle stirs her nest. Jesus is a troublemaker. Come stir my nest. I was fine. Y'all realize? Guys, I'm just telling you, we think, well, when I was out in the world, when you was out in the world, you didn't even have a nest. I came into my little primitive Baptist nest, and I was fine right there. And he come in and stirred my nest up. He's a meddler. He's a troublemaker. He comes in with a sword, comes in and brings division. And if you haven't let him come into you yet, I remember, guys, when y'all showed up down there in the valley. Barely didn't even know all y'all's names. Somebody been troubling you. It wasn't me. I can't take no responsibility for that. Didn't even know you. I can now. I can take a little responsibility for causing trouble. But at that time, no, I couldn't. Somebody had troubled you. Somebody had been troubling you. And that's what I'm saying. We can't believe it's Jesus that comes in and troubles us. Can't believe our whole world gets turned upside down. I was comfortable where I was. We come to face to face with this stone, with Jesus, and everything about him is opposite of what I... Just take a little walk through the Bible. I mean, it's like walking in Alice in Wonderland. Nothing seems right in the Bible. I mean, I start out right here in the beginning. I've got a 90-year-old woman having a baby. I mean, come on. I mean... You know, Tracy's grandma, she died at 93. We had Aunt Patty, what was she, 100, 101, 102? Can you see a 102-year-old woman having a baby? That's offensive, ain't it? I mean, we kind of laugh, but can you imagine? I mean, I could see her 9 months pregnant coming in on a walk. I mean, y'all kind of laughing about it, but wouldn't that be offensive? Why does the Bible start out that way? She's 90 years old. 90-year-old women ain't supposed to. They're supposed to be having great-grandchildren. They ain't supposed to be having babies. This Bible just... And then, come on, a virgin going to have a baby? Oh, Lord. I mean, it's offensive. You know, I mean, y'all think about it. You mean a big old fish? God prepared a big old fish to swallow somebody? I mean, come on. The stupid stuff that goes on in the Bible, it's offensive to me. Let it be offensive to you, guys. It's in that that it becomes the power of God unto salvation. Yes. I mean, when I look at the God of all power, God of all power, God who is love, what do I think of with power? Listen, every time I think of power, you know what comes in my mind? I get the Facebook video. And I see two trucks, a Chevrolet and a Dodge. Dodge Power. What's it called? Dodge Ram Power. Dodge from Tough Ram Power. So I think of God walking around just flexing his muscles, you know. Tough Power. Right? Holding the world up on it. I mean, ain't that what we see, Mr. Atlas? He holds the world up on his shoulders. Y'all seen that picture of Mr. Atlas holding the world up? God is power. But yet, when I get to the display of his power, God's ultimate glory and his ultimate power on display, I see Jesus beat to a pulp. Face smashed in, teeth knocked out, beard pulled out, crown of thorns on his head, beat down in there, stripped naked, and he lays there. He lays there and says, Bev, put the nail right here. He doesn't even try to curl his hand back. They don't even have to hold his hand out. Have you ever seen a little kid in a doctor's office? And the doctor says, Bev, hold their legs. I got to give them shots. They're just getting a shot. And you got to hold their legs, and the other nurses hold them. And oh, we're holding them. They didn't even have to hold his hand. That's offensive to me. I thought with power he would speak down 12 legions of angels, and they would swoop in, and he would say, see, I'm right. Y'all get what I'm saying? The power of God is on display in this mutilated body. The love of God is on display in this mutilated body on the cross. Preaching of the cross is foolishness. Did you get that? It's foolish. That, you know what that word means? It means you would have to be a moron to believe it. That's what it says. You can look it up. It means you would have to be an absolute moron to believe this. When we come in to this, guys, there's another world, another dominion. Another dominion. And they're separated by a common language. What do you mean separated by a common language? I mean the world has got every word that the church has. Oh, the world's got love. Oh, they got puppy love. They got I love ice cream. I love Reese's cups. And it's right in the same sense as God love. You see, so we say love, God loves you, but we do it through the lens of human reasoning, human understanding, and God's love ain't got a thing to do with human love. It's so more other, it's so more other as far as the east is from the west.
Yes.
How about faith? Oh my God. You know, I seen a guy put out the other day, he said, I've got faith, and I'm having faith in myself. That's in the self-help bookshelf down there at Books of Me, and bam, you go down there and you can read it. The word faith and how the world uses it ain't got a thing to do with the word faith and how God uses it. Nothing. They're not even close. How about hope? The world's got the word hope. And what do they mean by the world? The word hope. They mean, really, they ain't a chance. You know, my kids finally grew up and figured it out. You know, we use the word maybe. We're going to go fishing tomorrow. Maybe. Y'all know, as a parent, you know what that really means. I'm just putting you off. We ain't going nowhere tomorrow. Ain't that what it really means? Maybe. I just don't want to really answer you right now. And you know, so we use hope. Oh, yeah, boy, I hope so. Really, it means there ain't a chance in this world. But when God says the word hope, it means absolutely of a surety, yes, it's done. Yes. Can have hope. You with me? Hope. So I told you, God begins meddling in our affairs, messing with us, stirring us all up. I mean, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We got to understand that in truly coming to Christ, there will be a radical shift in belief, a radical shift in understanding. Every word we've ever known. I mean, I got to say something right here. If you've never been offended by God. Now, I know everybody's looking. Well, God's never offended me. Have you ever been angry at God? Confused by God? Well, if not, you haven't let the gospel affect your life. And I'm telling you something. I mean, y'all are looking at me, and I'm telling you the truth. See, I wasn't brought up to think I could be mad at him. But see, he made me mad. Because I didn't understand. I mean, that's what this stone does. This stone makes you mad. This stone confuses you. This stone is a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. It's meant to be that way. It's the cheese on the trap to lure you in. To draw out of you that you never even knew was in there. I mean, Peter didn't know what was in him. God knew what was in him. Oh, Jesus, I'll go with you. I'll go with all the others may, you know, they'll fall by the wayside, but I'll go with you to prison. That ain't nothing. Even to death, Jesus, let's me and you. Let's get it. Trap. Trap was set, wasn't it? You think Peter was offended that night when the power of God stood on that balcony? as they spit in his face and pulled his beard out, began to mock him and Jesus, calling on witnesses. And he says, ask those who heard me. Looking down at Peter, and he didn't look at Peter, because when Peter denied him three times, Jesus was looking on him and their eyes met. And he says, Peter, I'm calling on you for a witness. I don't know the man. I mean, has the gospel ever been an offense to you? It's my flesh that gets lured out. Christ is the bait. Oh, I look so Christian. Oh, yeah. Man, got it going on. I look so right. Got my doctrine all right. You know, y'all ever know anybody like that? Oh, I just think, man, they walk around and they almost got that fake smile on all the time. Bless you, brother. Amen, brother. I want to hit him, old guy. I really do. I want to slap him in the head. I just, because it makes me mad. I wonder where these people come from. And listen, when you go visit another church, sometimes they thank them because that's all they've been around. Listen, there were some people out there working, you know, around the church. I go out there and I'm common with them. I go out there, listen, I'm going to offend you. I go out there and take me a little chew tobacco, and we can get on with it. We got to do a little digging. We cut a little brush, and I'm right there with you, brother. That's my, you know, but, oh, let me get your Bible. Amen, brother. Bless you. Could you pray for us? I told him right out of the gate, you can ask them down there. I said, listen, don't ask me to pray for you. They kind of looked at me. I said, if the Holy Spirit urges me to pray for you, I will. Otherwise, why should I waste my words on you? It ain't going to do nothing. You're going to feel like I did something for you or not. But they understood. You see what I'm talking about? They understood that a little bit. Do you want me to just come and give some magic dust over top? If the Holy Spirit leads me in this prayer, then we got some. Now we got some. But if not, and see, that's why it was an offense to me, because I realized I can't even pray. You guys know my story on prayer. I couldn't even pray, probably, to a rock of offense when he took prayer away from me. Don't pray to me that way no more. I was offended. Offended, I was scared. Everything I had been taught. And see, I have to tell them down there. I told them down there right out of the gate, because I know we're going to go out and eat. We're going to go to Ruby Tuesdays. I told them, don't ask me to pray at Ruby Tuesdays. If y'all want to pray over the dinner, knock yourself out. Well, they did. They prayed right over the dinner and we ate. That's fine. But I had to tell them where I stood, where I was. You know what I'm talking about? Don't think I'm going to come down here and be so religious, all this other stuff. I didn't even bring a tie. This is me. I got four cans of Skull over. I'm going to be here 4 days. I got four cans of Skull. That's a can for each day. I'm going to walk around out here, and when y'all clean this house out, when I'm gone, I hope I got all my empty Dr. Pepper bottles. I tried to make sure I didn't leave an offense. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How the offense? I thought God was this way, and now I find out. And I never dreamed I was in so much rebellion against him. I mean, I thought I liked God. I thought they was in rebellion. I didn't realize that was me. He lured it out of me. He baited me. My flesh responded. It came out. But if I'm going to keep walking down this path, this stone is going to break me. You know, look at Exodus. Exodus, Red Sea, sends Israel down there. Israel was the bait and the trap, wasn't it? They don't go into the Red Sea unless Israel's down in the Red Sea. And when they got down into the Red Sea, closed up, killed Pharaoh. Had to bait them, didn't it? God will bait you and draw stuff out of you. And it'll be offensive. He'll draw stuff out of you. Listen. Sometimes we get angry. I don't, Oakley. Say things that I shouldn't say. I'm in total control. But I'm talking about y'all. Y'all, on the other hand, Say things when you get mad you shouldn't say. And then what do? Well, y'all made me mad. Right? I mean, it's your fault. I would have never said that if y'all hadn't made me mad. Well, see, whatever the situation was the bait and the trap to lure that flesh right out of you. And then you become offended by it. And then what do? In our holy religious pride, it's your fault. I was having a good day until old Johnny pulled out in front of me right down here. Did you see what he did? I mean, he wasn't even staying on this side of the road. He's cut me off, and you know, look at that guy behind me, following me too close, can't even see his headlights. He's going to rear end me. I was having a good day until, man, there's cheese everywhere, ain't there? Cheese everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's cheese luring you out, baiting you in. Preaching of the cross. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. To the Jews it's revolting. I mean, it's revolting. I mean, our Messiah hanging on the cross, that's revolting. To the Greeks, that's the educated. That's the sophisticated. Right? The educated. The sophisticated. To them, it's foolishness. That means you'd have to be a stupid moron, you know. Do you realize Christ crucified is an oxymoron? Y'all know what an oxymoron? We take two words that mean opposite things, stick them together. Christ, that means power. That means Messiah. That means love, glory, power, honor, kingship. Thou Son of David. What does the word crucified mean? Crucified means scum of the earth. A Roman citizen couldn't even be crucified. A Roman citizen, no matter what he done, wasn't allowed because he was at least considered a human. Crucifixion was reserved for those not even considered a human being. And then on top of that, he is considered to be cursed of God. And you put those two together, Christ, crucified. I mean, the two words together, it's trouble here. But yet, Christ crucified is the very foundation. It's the very stone which the builders rejected. It's the chief cornerstone, the capstone of our very life. Now you see, now can you kind of see a little bit? House built on the sand, house built on the stone. We all had a house built on the sand. We didn't know it. We didn't know it. I mean, Jesus referred to his cross as the moment of absolute glory. I mean, what did he say? The hour is coming. The hour is coming. He said, the hour is come. Father, glorify me. Where was he going? He's going to the cross. I mean, the cross, the real glory of God. Listen, I'm glad Jesus was raised from the dead. That don't offend anybody, right? We all got a little Easter Sunday services. Everybody gets brand new clothes, buys them a new outfit. We're not offended in the resurrection. That's great. Oh. But let's go back about 3 days. We don't really want to talk about the cross. Bothers me. Why did he have to die like that in the first place? I mean, this is a scandal. It's foolishness. I mean, so you're telling me that if I was the only human being that ever lived, that ever will be, that Jesus would have had to die like that because I was so offensive to God? I mean, do you ever get a hold of that? I mean, that's offensive. I thought, really, you know, Jesus was dying for all the bad, real, real, real bad people. You telling me that's God? That's the one I worship? The one who let him do that stuff to him? The one who let him strip him naked and hang him on a cross? I mean, That's the God that I'm worshiping? Is that the God you created in your mind? No, the God you created in your mind can heal the sick, raise the dead. He's got all power. He speaks and the sea becomes calm and the winds obey. Right? He's got all power. The other God's Dagon falls over in his presence and he walks around and the earth melts before his presence. That's the God you got in your mind, right? That's the God you want to worship. This one? It's offensive. I don't like it. You're telling me about this one, this you're telling, I don't want a God this weak. Do you want a God this weak? The weakness of God is stronger than men. We read it. And he said, go ahead. Only dry the nails right here in my hand. You get this side. Jeff, you get that side. Neil, you put them in my feet. You know. That's what he says. I won't even bend my leg. You just go ahead and drive them in there, buddy. I don't want a God like that. I want one that's raised from the dead. I want one that walks on the water. I don't want one that hangs on the cross. It's offensive. I want a God that's respectable. You know, like all the other gods. All the other gods has got temples. They got places to worship and people go and worship. And I don't want a God that's hanging on the cross, you know. I want you to feel it, guys, because nowadays we got gold and silver crosses. Imagine you were there 2,000 years ago, and you thought this Jesus, thou son of David, was it, and you saw him on the cross. It's offensive. I don't understand it. I'm upset. He is. Oh, my. 5 minutes, Jeff. I'll be done. But yet it's the power of God unto salvation. Why do we have such a reaction to the cross? Guys, it goes all the way back to the garden. It goes back to the lie. What is the lie? You'll be as God. You'll be as God independent from God. Amen. It's the very heart of sin. You'll be as God independent from God. And from that lie, this whole mess began. And when I'm saying that, guys, I'm not talking like the crazy, crazy, crazy people who think they can fly and walk on the water. You know, I've told Zach sometimes, you think you're God. He said, Dad, I don't really believe that. But listen, we really do. We really do. Because we really believe I got it figured out. We really believe I know the difference between right and wrong. Right? I have figured out what's right and wrong. I mean, he warns us of that. He said they call evil good and good evil. But everybody knows that's bad. I believe I've got figured out on my own the meaning of life. I believe I do. I believe I've got it. I believe I've got it figured out how life works. You know, America has led the way in that doctrine. They brought that doctrine to the world. Just do it. We got it on t-shirts, right? Just do it. You can do it. You can do it. If you try hard enough, you can be anything. Right? That sounds great. We got it on all our t-shirts. We got it on all of our slogans. I seen people yesterday. I can do all things. No, Patty. I can do all things. I don't need the other part. That's offensive. I can do all things. Oh, Christ, yeah, he gives me a little strength. You know. But I can do all things. Yeah, that's correct. Stay back here, Jesus. I'll holler at you, man. I can do all things. Go ahead, Jesus. Give me a little strength. All right, I got the strength. I can do it. Right? That's what the disciples were on the boat, wasn't it? Become offensive. How can you sleep? Don't you care that we perish? You've become an offense to us. Get up and do something. But now it's just do it. Right? Just do it. You can do it. You're powerful, you know. And in so doing, listen to this, in so doing and believing that lie, man severed himself from God. Severed himself. He divorced himself from God. Banished himself from the love of God. God says, I know you're still walking around, but let me tell you something. You are dead. You're dead to the meaning of life. You're dead to the reason you're here. Death has been set in motion. Death is working in you. This terrible negative energy that works in every cell of my body. From the moment I'm born until the moment I've died, death is working in me. What should be a celebration of life is death. Death working in my emotions. You want to know why people's emotions are all out of whack? Death. Will thou be made whole? Death is working in our emotions. Death is working in our mind. And it works in us bitterness. It works in us wrath. It works in us anger. It works in us fear. It works in us despair. It's death working in us. Works in us selfishness. Hate. Jealousy, every negative thing that brings us down, distorting us, making our lives a living hell. How many people do you know now that live in a living hell here on earth? The gospel is the power of God into what? Salvation. My God, help us if it's only a ticket to go to heaven someday. We need it here. Salvation is here, but we can't get by the offense of the cross. We want to go some other way. Listen, it's the power of God, that cross, that offense. It's the cheese that baits me out. We live in a world of darkness, of despair, anger, depression. We feel worthless. God gave the law to man so that he could show man how far off course he was. And then in our arrogance and our pride, we thought, aha! What you got to do to make God happy. See how stupid we are? That's why it's an offense to the Jews. I mean, come on. The cross and all our relationships and everything we seek to do, and all of man's pain, his fear, his loneliness, bitterness, anger, he denies everything and says, it's not my fault, God. It's the woman you gave me. Her fault. Oh, it's in the Bible, guys. We don't take credit for nothing. It's to her that you gave me. And the woman says, it wasn't my fault. It was the devil. He did it. The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, you know. So then what do? We go and we still live in denial because we go put on fig leaves. You know what fig leaves? Fig leaves really saying? Fig leaves is saying, it's not my fault. It's not really my fault. Nothing's wrong here, God. I may be bleeding, my eyeball may be hung out, but I got my fig leaves on, I'm all right. I go to church, I put on my little smile, my little face, it's all good. My world is so good, because God forbid if I go to church and tell everybody my world is falling apart. I can't sleep. I'm in worry. I'm in anxiety. I got no money. I got nothing. I feel terrible. I feel unwanted. I feel all this anxiety. I'm not going to tell everybody at the church. I'll go to some psychiatrist down there and pay them $125 an hour to go down there and lay on his couch. But you don't need to lay on the couch. You need to go eat the cheese and come to the cross. It may be offensive, but it is the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Listen, you don't even know you're living it. I'm going to finish up right here. You don't even know you're living it. I remember being in the Marine Corps. I was flying into Los Angeles. I flew in there kind of at night. The city's all lit up. And as you fly into L.A., it ain't nothing but a cloud over that city. Smog. I thought, man, how could you even breathe? But as the plane went down, I couldn't see it. And I got right into the middle of it, the plane landed, and I was there for 6 months. Never saw the fog. I thought, well, the fog must have lifted. I was living it. I was breathing. I couldn't even see it. You can get so in tune to live in pain and misery, you don't even notice it. You're so used to living in prison, living in fear, living in anxiety, you don't even notice it. But when you get back on the plane and head up, and I look back and say, my God, how did I even survive? You see what I mean? How did could I even survive? I'm going to say this, guys. I'm going to upset you one last time. And I know this is when God really worked my world. I've told you this before, but God was never mad at you. Ever. That's offensive. God is not mad at you. He was never, ever, ever mad at you. Now listen, I couldn't believe that, but I heard it myself, Patty, right in my own living room when Stevie got all mad at me. And then he said, I'm sorry, and he went away. And I said, well, you know, in my mind, I didn't say nothing. But I'm thinking, yeah, right. And God says, do you believe me like you believe him? And then God himself spoke in my heart and says, I was never mad. And I'm telling you, somebody else has had this revelation. It was offensive to me. But he says, I was never mad at you. Why? Because he's love. Even while man sinned and spit in God's face and pulled his beard out, he was not angry with man. He wept. Patty told you in the Bible, he wept over that man. He wept over that man and said, I would as a hen to his gather of brood. I have come here with a holy determination. I will come in where you are. And I will bring you back. I will carry you back to the purpose for which you was created. And that purpose for which you was created to us to be a part of me, to be a part of the Trinity, to live by me and me by you, and that your joy might be full, and that I would joy in you. You fell from that purpose. I'm not mad. I'm coming in with the determination to bring you back. I'm coming to get you. And guess what, guys? He did. And what did it look like? It looked like a bloody human being beat to a pulp hanging on the cross. It looks offensive. But therein is the love of God revealed from what? From faith to faith. God's love is known. Listen. God's love is known not by his words, but by his work. It's not, oh, I feel he loves me. I feel he don't. Did y'all ever do that? He loves me not. That's feeling. We've all did that, guys. God must be mad at me today because I didn't do right. I didn't do good. They've never met with the love of God that radically changes. He comes where we are, right in death. Right in death. Stop it.